Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Lynn Eveson. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
We had a great word last week from Steve and positioned for the things of God. And if you haven't heard it, it's on the website. And the week before, Pastor Shane was talking about positioning. And if you haven't heard that, you can hear it on the website. And we really need to kind of keep up, because God's moving so fast that when we miss something, we miss what he's doing. And it's not just catching up with the word on the website. Being in the house is when God actively moves. Who last week got a breakthrough? Yeah. Don't be afraid to put your hand up. It's fine. There was a real move of God. There was breakthrough for people. And I've been speaking to someone who had a real breakthrough of, yeah, being loosed into freedom, of being set free from a mindset, of moving in liberty in Christ. And so it's important that we gather together. It's not for nothing that it says in the word, do not neglect meeting together, because that's the way our faith becomes shipwrecked, when we think we can just be okay not meeting together. And so catch up with what God has been doing. And today I want to look at our position in Christ. Because while he's positioning us for possession, we don't want to get too focused on where we're going and what we're going to do. We want to be totally and utterly focused on where he's taking us and who we are in him, and then we can get where we're going. So our position in Christ is the most important position to get a good hold of. And so if you've got a pen, I'm just going to read some scriptures out. I love to hear the rustle of Bible pages. I'm not so keen on hearing the plink, plink of iPhones and iPads. But anyway, whatever you bring in to write on, if you can just write down these scriptures that I'm going to read over you. In him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:28. In him, in Christ, we have become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. In him, we are seated, wow, in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. In him, we are a new creation. The old has gone, and all things, that's everything, doesn't miss anything out, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In him, in Jesus, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing of the heavenly places. Ephesians 1:1-4. The same portion of scripture. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, in his love. That's just a few of the benefits that we have because we are positioned in Christ Jesus. You know, the one thing that God looks at is our position and not our performance. Our performance comes out of who we are in Christ and where we are positioned in him. God doesn't look at our performance. He doesn't have a tick box. He doesn't have an Ofsted. He doesn't have any kind of graph. Pastor Shane said, graphs mean nothing to God. God just looks at us positioned in Christ. He sees us through the blood. He sees us seated where we are meant to be, sitting with Christ in heavenly places. God looks through the blood and thinks, that's my son. Do you know, at the end of the day, we can never do anything for God. We can't do great things for God. But we can do small things for a great God who makes those things great in his economy. So our position in Christ is what informs our thinking about who we are. If we look at what we do, if I look at what I do, I'm going to count myself a failure every single day. I can't even meet my own expectations, much less those of other people. But when I look at who I am in Christ, I get a fresh revelation of what it is to live positioned in heavenly places, above the stuff. I get a grip of the word, the great word that Mike brought this morning, of having the mind of Christ. Because when Christ's in me and I'm in him, everything that is his is mine. I'm glad you think that's good. I thought we'd have everybody standing on their chairs going, awesome. When I get the revelation I'm positioned in Christ, then I begin to understand that everything that is mine. Not because I earned it, not because I deserve it, not because I've ticked a box, but simply because I am saved by grace. Through his blood, in his love, he's taken me from where I was, cleansed me, cleaned me, washed me, cleaned me up, sat me down on his lap in heavenly places. I'm positioned. I'm already positioned for victory. I'm already positioned as more than a conqueror. I'm already positioned to do the greater things than Jesus did. Wow! It's from that position that the rest flows. If we try to position ourselves, we've already lost ourselves. You know, he must increase and we must decrease. We are to bow before him, humble our flesh life before him, and live out of who we are in him. And because we've received Christ and we are in Christ and we are accepted in the beloved, oh, one of my favorite scriptures, we are sure and certain, sure and certain of what he has got for us is greater than anything we could ever dream of, hope, imagine, or aspire to for ourselves. If you want to get the greatest book I've ever read that liberated me, set me free, after the Bible, is one by Colin Urquhart, and it's simply called In Christ Jesus. And just page after page after page of revelation of who I am in the I am. And the I am is in me. And I am in Christ. And therefore, everything that is his, I am an inheritor of, I am a possessor of, is in me. And it begins to enlarge that capacity in your spirit when the world would crush you down, when the thoughts of all the things that you do wrong would squash you and squeeze the life out of you. Finding that place of your positioning in Christ is a place of growth, a place of expansion, a place of extension, a place of enlargement, a place of joy, a place of peace, a place of life, a place of health, a place of strength. Who wouldn't want this? I'm glad you're all up for it. Me too. 1 John 4:17. If you can turn to your Bibles, please. First letter of John, chapter 4 and verse 17. It's headed in my Bible, the consummation of love. The coming together. The coming together of that perfection of the love of God. And it says this, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. If you meditate on that scripture, it's just going to blow your mind. As he is, as Christ is, exactly the same as, not, this doesn't mean similar to or like or a copy or a shadow. It means as he is, so are we in the world. When we are in him, we are him to the world. That gives you a sense of how much we need Jesus to be as he is in the world. Because without him, we are nothing. Nothing in the world and do nothing for the kingdom. As he is, so are we in this world. In this world. This is the only time you've got in this world. So in this time, invest who you are. Not who your flesh is. Invest who you are in Christ. Invest that in this world. It's the best place to be. At Connect this week, we looked at Matthew 5:14, and we were looking at being the light of the world, of being visibly Christ in the world. And that's a great thing. It's an awesome thing where Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." In John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world." And just getting a hold of that, the "I am" says you are. The "I am the light of the world" says you are the light of the world. John got a grip of this. John got a grasp of it when he wrote this amazing letter to the church. Because as he is, so are we. It's such a truth. It's such an amazing, liberating truth to get a hold of. Who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you means that as he is. Not as he was. Where is he when John wrote this letter? Risen, ascended, glorified. And John was saying, as he is, you too live that risen, ascended, glorified life now in the world. Oh, I'm going to Uganda tomorrow. Are you getting the revelation, or do you just think this is another preach that is interesting? The word of God is never just another preach that is interesting. It's life and light and revelation and power. And it influences you, affects you, changes you. We have the mind of Christ. We need to make sure that we are using that one and not the flesh. There's no good thing in the flesh. And so the "I am" says you are. The "I am the light of the world" says you are the light of the world. And as he is, so are we in the world, in this world, it says in mine. Don't know what it says in all the other versions, but this is the truth. And so because he is in us and we are in him, we are already positioned for the things of God in this world. Our position is fixed in Christ. Our mindset's up for change. There are only two things here to stay. Change and Jesus. Change is here to stay because God's in the business of changing us, which is amazing. He changes us from glory to glory. He gives us everything we need to get on and do all that he's called us to, all that he's destined for us to do. And so we need to change to accommodate that. But the only thing here to stay is that change and Jesus. He's not going anywhere. I'm with you always, right to the end of the age. I am with you always. I'm not going anywhere. But where you go, I'm going to go. You're going to be me in this world. Where you go, I go. I used to say to my kids when they went out, remember Jesus is going with you. Give him a good time, will you? Awesome. He's coming with us. The only thing up for change is our mindset. We have in Christ the mind of Christ. That means we can think the things that Christ thinks. I know what he thinks about me because he wrote about me in this book. He wrote about me in this book. He wrote about you in this book. I know what he thinks of me. I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of good. God thinks good towards me. He's got a plan. I know what I've planned for you, Lynn, and it's great. It's awesome. You're going to love it. I've got great plans to prosper you and bless you. I'm never going to cause harm to you. I'm going to give you hope. I'm going to give you a future, Lynn. You personalize that scripture for yourself. It's going to blow you away. It will blow you out of depression. It will blow you out of apathy. It will blow you out of your comfort zone. And it will blow you into something fresh of the wind of the Spirit moving through your life. When you read what God wrote about you, and he's still writing in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know he knows how to spell your name? Some kids have really complicated names, but God knows how to spell them. I'm always getting into trouble for writing children's names with only one L or two L's and it's only one L or three E's and it's four E's or whatever it is. But, you know, God knows how to spell your name, and he's writing it. He's writing it in the Lamb's Book of Life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and he's blown my notes away. Thank you, Shay. Oh, it's only one-sided, fortunately. I'm only in 1 Corinthians. I've lost 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You should all be able to quote this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who here is in Christ? Yeah. Whoa! Glory! Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. When we come to Christ, God totally recreates us because he doesn't want any of the old rubbish to hinder us. We're a totally new creation. The old things have passed away, including how you used to think about yourself. The old things have passed away, including the habits that used to govern your life. The old things have passed away, including those things that used to depress you and cause you to despair. They have passed away. In America, they've got a saying, "Oh, she's passed." That meant she died and she's buried. I want people to say, "Oh, do you know, Lynn, she's passed." Not past her best. But all the old's passed away. Come on. It's passed away. It's gone and it's buried. Behold, look and see that all things have become new. Are you in Christ, I asked you? Well, then, all things have become new. That is your inheritance. You have got that ability to live the new, risen, ascended, glorious life of Jesus, to be as he is. You can be now in this world here. Yeah, I thought it was good news, Hazel. The old has gone and the new has come. And when we receive Christ, we receive everything. He's not waiting till you grow a bit to give you a new mindset. He's waiting for you to grow into the mindset. He's given you it. He's waiting for you to grow in it. You know, when you go and buy a new coat for your kids, most people buy it to fit now. But when I was a kid, I always had to have a coat two sizes too big. And, well, I hated it. I just hated it. I used to bundle my old coat up and stick it in my satchel, and my new coat up and stick it in the satchel and wear the old one because I'd rather look, you know, I'm this big and I'm growing out of my clothes and I'm only this big and my clothes are dragging me down, my coat's dragging on the floor. I don't need gloves because I can't find my fingers. But God gives us everything to grow into, and that's good. It's not two sizes too big. It's waiting for us to fit it perfectly, because he's crafted it for us, created it for us, and it's good. We're in Christ, and the old stuff has gone. Throw the old coat away. You know, sometimes the problem is we try to keep half of the old coat on and half of the new coat on. And they don't even button up at the front, and you definitely get a draft at the back. You can't wear half of the old and half of the new. You're called to live in the new. You're a new creation. Who doesn't like new clothes? I've got a new top on today. Loads of people noticed. I was like, oh, that's good. That's lovely. I felt great. I've got a new top on. I'm going to throw one of my old ones into the swap thing. So I just love having that new creation. It's brilliant. And it's just even better when you move into the new things of God. So we've got everything that we need to do everything that he's called us and commissioned us to do. We have got permission for our position. We're commissioned and positioned for our mission. I can't do that again. I'll have to listen to it. Anyway, everything that we need, we have got. John 20:21. I'm sorry, I'm jumping about a little bit today, but I hope it's hanging together for you. John 20:21. And so we remember that what John wrote to the church, as he is, so are you in this world. He was remembering this word that Jesus spoke. Jesus said, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So God the Father sent Jesus, who has sent us. We're sent ones. God the Father sent Jesus to the world, and Jesus sends us to the world. We are unequivocally positioned to be sent. And what a privilege that is, that God sent the best. God sent heaven's best. And do you know what? Your Jesus' best. Live your best life now. It's the only one you've got in this world. Live it now. Be a sent one now. And John 14:12. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will do also. But do you know what? He didn't stop there. You know what the next bit is, don't you? And greater works than these he or she will do, because I go to the Father. And I'm going to leave something with you to get the job done. That's a bit of a paraphrase. It's not what it says in the New King James. But Jesus said, you are going to do the same things, as if that wouldn't be enough. He then says, and you're going to do greater things. How? I don't know how that works, but I'm just trusting it's the truth. That the same things that Jesus is, I am. The same things that Jesus did, I do. And it gets better, because it always gets better with God. The greater works, God's reserved for those sent by Jesus. I'm like, this is good news. I want to grow into that. I want to grow into the more than, because there's always more than in Jesus. Now, all of this settles our position. In Christ, we're positioned for greatness. In Christ, we're positioned for purpose. In Christ, we're positioned to possess the earth for the kingdom of our God. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. By God's grace, we set in place. If you don't remember anything else, just remember that. By God's grace, We are set in place. We're positioned just where he wants us to be in Christ. And we're not only positioned, but we're purposed. We purpose to be missional as a sent out people. We purposed to do the work of Christ in this world now. Well, literally, you're Christ's hands, Christ's feet, Christ's heart, God's heart for the lost. Are you glad you're saved?
Yes.
I'm so delighted I'm saved, because the other doesn't bear thinking about. Jesus came because he was sent. And he said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus was obedient to death on the cross. That just means Jesus did what God sent him to do. And we too are called to be an obedient people, going where Jesus sends us. For the purpose of God, for the purpose of the kingdom, on earth as it is in heaven. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. For the joy that's set before us, sometimes we can't even endure saying I'm a Christian or I go to church. Ouch. Well, I don't know how to talk to people. Tell them you go to church. No, I said to this man yesterday, do you go to church? No, he said. I said, well, you're in one now. It's great. It's full of life like this all the time, I said to him. We eat like this. We chat like this. We have parties. It's a great life. Try your local church. Where do you live? I lived in Barnsley. I told you the Northerners are taking over. See, I don't have to go into all the world. The world comes to me. I don't have to go out with my passport to Yorkshire. They come down here. I'm happy with Uganda. Jesus came because he was sent. It tells us so in John 3:16. I bet you can all quote that to me. Well, that's the truth. That's why Jesus came, because God sent him for a purpose. And do you know what? God's missional. Say that word out loud. Missional. God's missional. He had a plan for the world. He had a plan for you. A mission just means you've got a plan for a purpose. That's what a mission is. It's just a plan. When we go to Uganda, we spend a couple of weeks there and about a year in the planning of going and the praying and the praying in the finances and the raising of the funds. We have a plan. We know what we're going to do when we get there. We're going to submit to the house that's there. We're going to serve them. We're going to see salvation. We know we're going to see healing. We know we're going to see deliverance. We know we're going to see joy. But it takes, you know, a long time in the planning of a mission trip. But, you know, we're missional. Every time you pray, God's going to reveal to you where to go. Every step of the way, he's going to lead you. It's no good getting to heaven and saying, oh, well, I just wasn't very good at talking about you, God. There's no hiding place. We're a sent people. We're called to go with what we've got. You're glad you're saved? Are you glad somebody spoke to you about salvation? You know, missional, we all think that we're going to try and get away from it. Jonah didn't do a very good job of getting away from it. It didn't turn out too well for him in the middle bit. Praise God, he got the picture and it turned out okay in the end, but he was still a misery gut sitting under his tree moaning that God had saved the people. But that was the purpose. We're all missional. Are we missionaries? Maybe that's got a slightly different context, but I don't think it has really. Whether you're a missionary to Uganda or China or Asia, America, Australia, whether you're a missionary there. Well, I fancy Bondi Beach, but anyway. Whether you're a missionary there, or whether you're a missionary that's come from there, Tony, or whether you're a missionary to Desford or Barlston or Ibstock, it's all the same. You're a sent people. Jesus said, as God sent me, so I send you. And then he breathed on them. He breathed breath into them. He breathed the Ruah of God, the life of God, the Spirit of God into them to get the job done. And he's still doing that by his Holy Spirit now. We're a missional people, and it is scary, and yet it's not scary. It's only scary to the flesh. The Spirit's going, yeah, go on, you're only little, but you can have them. He might be bigger than you, but he's coming down. He's going to fall. Yeah, go on, you can do it. Listen to the voice of God. You're positioned in Christ. Christ is in you. You've got what it takes. You can make it. Go all the way. Don't stop short. Give them your testimony. Who gave their testimony at Connect on Tuesday? Annie Hazel. Oh, I thought the rest of you had gone to sleep. Wasn't it great? I was talking to somebody and they said, oh, do you know, Connect was amazing on Tuesday. I learned this and this and this. They weren't disclosing personal details, but how much there'd been a strengthening of relationship, because all of a sudden you realise this person wasn't floating about on a cloud, Mr. Superman, but it was just like you and me, needed to get saved in the same way. But God just had done something marvellous and amazing and wonderful in the process. Don't you think the people out there need to hear that? That's good. That means you're going to be able to go with what you've got. I bet more than one person witnessed to you before you got saved. Did anybody have to get witnessed to more than once? This is not a competition. Yay, come on. We sow and we water and we reap. Sometimes we reap what others have sown. Sometimes others reap what we've sown. It's all kingdom. It doesn't matter. It's kingdom. So, you know, you just might be the next drip that they need. One more drip. You might be the next deluge that they need. It doesn't matter whether you're a drip or a deluge, as long as you're adding value, as long as you are giving what's in you, as long as you're living from the position that you've got in Christ, as long as you're letting Christ out. Let him out. Let him out of the box. He doesn't have a box. Think outside the box. Let Jesus out. He's in you. You're in him. It's a place of strength, security. Who can say, I went to church on Sunday? Try it. Just everybody say it out loud all at once. I went to church on Sunday. What did you do? Say to them. Yay, go. What did you do? Do you know what I mean? Don't wait for them to ask you what you did. You've got it out there. I went to church on Sunday. What did you do? You haven't got to be talking about yourself. You don't want to be talking about yourself. You want to get them to engage with you. Oh, Sunday was dead boring. We didn't do anything. Oh, you should have been in church with us. It was great. Worship was brilliant. We had a great time together. God did stuff. Somebody got healed. Somebody got set free. Somebody got saved. It's not hard. It just isn't hard. The devil will tell you it's hard. Your flesh will tell you it's hard. Your flesh will tell you it's impossible. Because the enemy wants to steal from you your life in God, and wants to steal from you the seeds of potential for the lives of others to receive from God what he's put in you. Now, you might not think there's anything in you worth receiving, but if you're born again, Jesus is in you, and he's worth not only giving everything for, but giving everything for other people to receive it, because it's a place of freedom and liberty and life. It's a place of joy and peace and strength. It isn't a place where nothing ever goes wrong. But it is a place where Jesus strengthens you through the stuff that goes wrong. Brings you out the other side, and you can share that with people as well. So God managed to find me, and he managed to find you, and he's asked us now to also be ones who go. Let's look at Acts 1, verse 4, 5, and 8, I think. And this really is Luke's witness statement. Luke was witnessing. We think he just wrote it for us to read, which he did. But this is Luke's witness statement here. And he's writing to Theophilus. Glad I don't have to spell it. You know, he was somebody really important. But Luke was witnessing to him. We're all really important in the kingdom. It's really important that we all see salvation come. And Luke said this in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, the disciples, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 7. And he also said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Say power.
Power.
It's a good thing to have when it's the Holy Spirit power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you, who? You. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria. And in case we think we're not actually going to be in Jerusalem, Judea or Samaria, he also added, and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jesus never travelled far in his ministry, but he sent his disciples to walk the rest. We're meant to walk out our calling, live out of our position, and leave the rest to God. Because do you know what? You will never get anybody saved. It's not your job. It's your job to witness and to share what's in you. And what is in you is more than enough, because it's Jesus. It's up to you to depend on him as though your life depended on it, because it does. And it's up to you to let him lead you into being his hands, his feet, and his voice. Because faith comes by hearing. We can witness in our deed. We can witness in what we do. But inevitably, eventually, we're always going to have to say something. The people at the wedding saw this church serving its socks off. So they might have thought, well, they're great people. They're working hard. They wouldn't have recognized it was the Jesus apron until we said so. Inevitably, you're going to have to say something. But being a missional people is just daily living out of your position in Christ, allowing God to enlarge that place that is his in you, and stepping out in faith that as you step out, he's coming in behind you. He's in you and he's behind you. He's in you and he's in front of you. He's going to lead you into those situations if you allow him to. So being missional is just daily going with what you carry of Christ. Witnessing is just someone who gives testimony. And a witness of Jesus makes a decision to speak out into a context, makes a decision to open their mouths. And do you know what? Jesus was ridiculed. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was even beaten. And Jesus was crucified. And daily he asks us, to walk in that same way. So it can be a challenge, but always it is going to be victorious. Always, 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 God will give us the grace to speak to individuals. God will give us the grace to serve until our socks fall off. And then he'll give us the energy to put them back on again. Because he's God. He is who he says he is. And you are who he says you are. And as he is, so are you. The I am says you're the light of the world, and it's no good unless you switch that light on in the darkness. A torch has the potential to bring light, but until it is switched on, it doesn't. And God is speaking to us to get switched on to the fact that we are a missional people. We might pat ourselves on the back and say, oh, well, we do things. We've sent teams to Poland and we send teams to Uganda. And there are some people who are good at that kind of thing, who talk to people. But we're all called to be witnesses in word and in deed. We're all called to pray. And as we pray, you'll be the answer to your prayer. As we pray for someone's salvation, you'll be the answer to that prayer. God will give you wisdom, words of knowledge, revelation, and boldness to go and to speak the word that they need so they too can come into eternal life. Stop being selfish with your salvation. We're not called to be selfish, we're called to be sent. We can live daily with a missional mindset. It just means changing your mind to line up with the mind of Christ. He's going to help you to do that. As we make the decision, we're going to be missional. I'm just going to finish with this PowerPoint, which it was a picture that God showed me. And since I can't draw, I did manage to find it on the internet. And God gave me a picture that as he is, so we are in this world. Well, this bit that you possess right now is your world. Your world is global because you live in it. Your calling is local because that's your world. Your family is your world. Your friends are in your world. Your workplace is in your world. The shops that you go to are in your world. The buses that you ride on are in your world. The people that you speak to on your phone are in your world. And these words are really powerful. She came because someone invited her to come. She stayed because she found a place to belong. She belonged and found a place to serve. And she grew because the word of God worked in her heart. She invited someone to come. She was missional. It's as simple as that. Who have you invited into the kingdom? Who have you invited into the house of God? Who have you invited? Brian got invited in yesterday to somewhere that he hadn't been before, and he shared his testimony and was able to witness. It's not just for the Bryans or the Sheilas or the bold, because you're bold. You're missional. That could just as easily say he, because I'm a girl. It said she. But there's no male or female in the kingdom of our God. We're all sons. And you are a missional, sent son. Let's stand together. Father God, I pray that your word take root in our hearts. Lord God, blow away the chaff of anything that I've added to your word which is of no consequence and no use. Lord God, leave the kernel of your word, the truth that brings freedom. Strengthen us, O God. Help us to see that things don't always have to be the same, because you're here to change us. Lord, change our thinking as we yield to you. Lord, change our confession as we speak of you. Lord God, change the way we live as we live for you. Help us to step out into these things day by day. Help us, O God, for we need you. We thank you for every blessing and every benefit that is ours in Christ. And we long to see others come into that same privileged position. Lord, may we who are privileged handle that privilege with the responsibility. Father, even as we stand before you, I pray that you'll be speaking into hearts, names that you're longing to see in your kingdom. Give us a vision, O God, of the people that you want us to speak to. Father, give us words of wisdom and knowledge. Help us, O God, to grow into the anointing, to grow into the things that you have for us. Loose us and release us, O God, I pray. Send us out today with your breath upon us, with the power of your Spirit at work in us. May we live and work for your glory. May we ever live to be missional until the day we die and come home to you. Amen. 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 I kind of feel that God hasn't finished. And maybe that's because for some of us, we're just beginning to get that revelation that with Christ in us, as he is, we are in our world. I pray you get a grasp of that revelation and you go and be Jesus to the ones in your world this week. There are lots of things. I don't think you will find many churches with as many opportunities to bring people to something, to connect with something of the kingdom. I pray that you're going to use Connect as a real vehicle and a real tool to invite people. I pray that you're just going to find what it is that God has got for you to speak to people. Just seize every opportunity. And you know, sometimes our walk with God is a challenge. But I'm just going to encourage you today to press through the challenge. Because on the other side of that challenge is victory. On the other side is joy. On the other side is peace. On the other side is a sense of the influence of the kingdom of God at work in your heart, in your life, and in God's world. May you be a part of that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.